dedicated to Him, aren't you?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's been for the last 12 weeks or so that we at Tri-County have been studying the book of John. We've done one chapter per week, and you can't really, I'm not sure where the feedback's coming from, but you can't really do justice to a whole chapter in a 30-minute sermon, but we've progressed nonetheless. We're going to look at John chapter 13. I want to just kind of rewind what we've done before. About 3 weeks ago, Chris told us about this, and then last week, Antonino told us. But John chapter 1 through 12 covers about 3 years of Jesus' ministry. But the chapters 10, 11, and 12, they cover just the last week of Jesus' public ministry, his life. And starting in John 13, we will see the last 24 to 36 hours of Jesus' life. So chapters 10, 11, and 12, they're kind of like a segue or an introduction to this, to the most important event in history. And so that's where we're starting off. There is so much to talk about. Started studying it. It was hard. It was very difficult to know, how am I going to cover all that? And I decided I'm not. I'm not going to be able to do it. So, but there are so many important things to talk about in John 13. There's the fact that Jesus was so, and this is amazing to me, that Jesus was so confident in his relationship with God and in his place in God's plan of salvation, his plan to take a people out of the world for himself. And then there's the fact that Jesus willingly and humbly took the spot of a servant. And you contrast that with when he comes to Peter, the pride that boils up. When Peter says, no, you'll never wash my feet. But he did. And then there's the fact that even though he knew that Judas was going to betray him, he still showed him the same love that he showed all the other 11 disciples. He didn't hold back because he might get hurt. He knew he was going to get hurt, and he didn't hold back. And there's just so many things we could look at. But I think I'm probably going to stop summarizing them here. Before I get into my message, I'd like to pray a little bit. Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for sending Jesus, for giving us an example in Christ that we can follow, that we are called to follow, that you expect us to follow. Help us, Lord, today to see how we might be more like Jesus as we go through our days. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And I hope that everybody here has recently read John 13. I know that Skyway folks, you haven't been going through the series with us, but hopefully you've recently read John 13, that you're familiar with it. And I hope the same for the people at Tri-County. I have done for you. I assure you, a slave is not greater than his master, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. You know, what we have here this is the heart of discipleship. To follow his example. Not just his example in John 13, but maybe John 1 through 21, maybe Matthew 1 through 28, even the letters, it's filled with the example of Christ. And we're called as disciples to try and imitate that. So, if you have been to the waters of baptism, then you made that pledge. You said, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And there's a song in a play that I saw many years ago. It's called Pick Up the Sword, but one of the lines in there is, it just always holds on to me, and that is that the singer, it's Stephen, before he gets stoned to death, and he has a line in there that says, you can't have a Savior if you won't have a Lord. And that's how it is. You know, Jesus has got to be Lord of our lives, not just our Savior. And so, I want to ask you, how are we doing? How are you progressing in your imitation of Christ? Are you more humble this year than you were last year? Have you learned to love as Jesus loved, or more in that line? Have you become a better servant? Have you been more pure in the things that you take in your eyes and your ears? Are you more like Jesus today than you were before? You know, I think about this all the time. In James, he writes that that if we're following Christ properly, that an outsider should be able to come into our fellowship, into our worship, and say, this truly is the Church of God. We need to be like that, together, loving one another, sharing the load with one another. That is what we are called to do. I don't know. And Tri-County, we haven't heard a sermon on the imitation of Christ in quite a while. We've had people bring it up in their messages. We've brought it up in our conversations. But we haven't had a sermon devoted to being like Jesus. And that's what I want to talk about today. And thinking of it, I think we need to just start at the beginning. Whether we were seeking a relationship with God, or we just, like me, I stumbled on an opportunity. I was at a really low point in my life. I considered suicide on a weekly basis. But God gave me an opportunity. I didn't even know there was a God. God gave me an opportunity. But all of us took advantage of that opportunity. Or I hope we have all taken advantage of that. But we heard a call, and it's something like this in Matthew 11. Matthew 11, 28. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Before we turn to Jesus, I think most all of us reach a low point. Most of us needed that because we weren't willing to admit how poorly we were running our own lives until we reached that point. I have no doubt somebody in here has just the incredible heart of faith that just wanted to serve God and needed to serve God without hitting the low point, without feeling desperate, but I don't think many of us were that way. But that's what it took for me to be able to hear the call for easy and light. You know, when Jesus says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, the people listening to him were from an agricultural society. They knew what a yoke was. A yoke is a device, a harness to bring two animals together to pull a load or a plow so that they could work together. And when Jesus said that his yoke was easy, he wasn't talking about, oh, you come to me and everything will be great. He's saying, I will be paired together with you in that yoke. I will help you pull the burdens of your life. That's what it meant, that the part of it being easy. What I've read, the yoke being easy meant that it fit properly and it wouldn't damage the animals who were doing the pulling, oxen or horses, whatever they have you. It won't injure them. That's what Jesus meant when he said his yoke is easy. It fits right. Any of us who It fits right, not just for any of us, it fits right for everybody. There's not a person God created who isn't meant to be in that yoke of Christ. It is easy. He will not injure us. He'll not harm us. But he'll be there when we go through things, when we go through injury, when we go through harm, when he'll be with us when the load seems too heavy for us to carry. That's what Jesus meant when he said his yoke is easy. I think I got ahead of myself here. Jesus is telling everybody he would be right there with them in all the lifting of life. And that is the same thing that Peter is telling us in Acts chapter 2. Acts 2, he promised that those who would put their faith in Christ and those who are baptized into Christ, that along with forgiveness of sins, we will, as believers, we will receive his Holy Spirit to live within us, to counsel us, to guide us, to give us strength where we didn't have it before. He didn't promise, though. Jesus didn't promise to anybody an easy life. He didn't promise health and wealth. He didn't promise that you're going to have a wedding and live happily ever after. He never promised people any of that stuff. He promised that he would be here with us. Whatever we have to go through, Jesus is right here. He's our partner pulling with us. And probably better said, that we're trying to be his partner. But either way, that's the image that Jesus has with the yoke. And so I wonder, why does Jesus need to reassure us? He needs to do that because he said I'm not sure where he said it, but he said that in this life you will have trouble. And then he said, but fear not, for I have overcome the world. Well, this one's much better. This one over here is blinking and jumping on me. it was so great that he didn't end with, in this world you will have trouble. He went on and said that, take heart, for I have overcome the world. And then in 1 Peter chapter 2, there's another warning. Peter tells us that for this you were called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example, so you should follow in his footsteps. It's not something that is just in John 13, that the whole of Scripture tells us we need to follow God. The New Testament tells us that we can follow God by following Jesus. And but that's another example of just how he's not calling us to ease. He's promising that we won't be injured by him. I got to ask myself, am I willing to suffer humbly just because I'm a follower of Jesus, because I walk with Christ? Am I willing to suffer insult, injury, thievery? Am I willing to suffer that and still be like Jesus? I know how troubling it is for me, how difficult it is for me if I turn on the news and I hear this politician telling me a lie, or I hear a news commentary that is just wrong. I can get all worked up. I wanna bless his heart, let me tell you. it's not an easy thing for me, but if I'm going to be like Jesus, then I need to endure these things humbly. I need to pray, as Jesus said, pray for those who persecute you. I need to pray for people who lie to me. I need to pray. Maybe I need better understanding myself, but I don't need to be like myself in those situations. There's a need for each of us to discern how we're doing spiritually. How are you doing? How am I doing in my imitation of Christ? The way that I do it, I imagine that, you know, the game, say one of these things is different. You have one picture and you have to pick out the differences in the other picture. So imagine yourself with Jesus right alongside you. And any instance could be a joyful instance, it could be a difficult instance, but imagine a picture of Jesus feeling what you feel or going through what you're going through. And then a picture of yourself that displays your thinking. And you see the difference. Well, that difference is where we need to be more like Jesus. God doesn't excuse any of us from being a disciple. Excuses for our sin, for our cursing, for our anger, for our hitting people, okay, causing arguments where there doesn't need to be one. And of course, we all fall short. We know that. There's nobody perfect in here. And if you need perfection, I certainly couldn't be up here talking to you about it. But think about this. It's love, gentleness, self-control, greed, lust, gluttony, forgiveness. The ways that we are not like Jesus, we know. You know how you're not like Jesus. I know how I'm not like Jesus. The psalmist wrote, my sins are always before me. And so, take note of how you are. And also take encouragement of how you are like Jesus. The growth. I have been a disciple for about 40 years now. And I wouldn't recognize me back then, the way I am now. And it's funny, it seems like the list where I need to go and become more like Jesus, where I need to submit myself more to Jesus, it doesn't seem like the list gets any shorter. because I just keep learning more. But we are making progress prayerfully. That's why Matthew 11:28 is so important. So comforting, really, because Jesus paired together with us, each of us in our own in the yoke, he has prepared for each of us individually. He's gonna pull with us. He is gonna increase our ability, our strength to be right. But at the same point, we can't get too comfortable with sin in our lives. We can't accept it. We must acknowledge it, but we cannot accept sin in our life, whatever it is. Jesus, if you've been a disciple 2 or 3 years, Jesus shouldn't have to pull as hard as he did in the beginning. If you've been a disciple 9 or 10 years, then Jesus should surely notice the difference. If you've been a disciple for 20 years, you see where I'm getting. We all have work to do. We've all made progress prayerfully. One thing that a lot of people struggle with is pet sins. For me, you know, I just told you about how I just really struggled. I stopped watching the news for 2 years because I hated being angry. I'm a lot better since I started watching the news again, but I might need to take a break again. We all know, or we probably all have pet sins. You know, another one for me is that I can get overwhelmed when I take on a project or something to do, and I don't complete it to my own satisfaction, I can get really withdrawn. I can start accusing myself and being angry at who I am. I think that they would have been better off if I was never there. This would have been, anybody could have done this better than me. Yeah, I know it sounds ridiculous to think that way, but it happens, and it's something that I have to work and pray to stay out of that kind of thinking. We all have these things that we revert to in times of trouble. Things, you know, your relationship with your spouse not going quite the way you want. Do you start getting all angry? Do you, I don't know, bring up a list of sins that you've forgiven them of? You know, we can do all kinds. Even stress in your life. Do you smoke? This is certainly not what Jesus would do. And we're not going to reach perfection. We never will. But we can't just throw our hands up in the air and say, well, I'm just not Jesus. That's not at all what he's looking for. In Romans chapter 6, Paul writes, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? It's difficult, but that's what we're called to do. We're called to put off the sin. We're called to be like Jesus. Again, in 1 John, John writes that we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. The one who says he remains in him should walk as Jesus walked. And that is following the example of Christ. John says earlier in chapter 1, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And it is a theme, following Jesus, being like Jesus, that is, should be the goal in every disciple's life. In Philippians 3, Paul teaches that following Jesus is a lifelong endeavor, that we ought to cling to the Spirit for strength to be our best selves while we continue on this earth. And after 30 years as an apostle, this is what Paul writes. So I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. 30 years. We need to keep trying. He goes on, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too, God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. It is possible to be more like Jesus, that you can set a goal on whatever it is. If you want to be more learning in the Word next year, you can set that goal and make the effort to get through it. You can be more forgiving, just remembering that Jesus would forgive. You know, whatever it is, you can do it. You really can. But the thing we have to remember is that, like what Paul says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward that, toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We press on. Press on. And honestly, that with that mindset, that really brings us right back to where we were when we started. John writes, or Jesus says, for I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done for you. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. And that's a big if we do them. That, I was a math major in college, and one of the things that always sticks out to me is the word if. It means if and only if. So the if you do this, you will get that. If you don't do this, forget about that. You will be blessed if you do them. And so my final words to you today is pay attention to Jesus' life.
Right.
Examine the scriptures, like the Bereans, examine the scriptures every day and look for the truth. And then, you know, we follow his example and we will be blessed, I promise you.